Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hey, Herman and Corin. I'd love to touch upon a few topics in today's conversation, and it comes centers around basically people who have multiple interests and curiosities and strengths in skill sets as opposed to one. I'm talking about really the trait of curiosity, which you've talked about before. And it's the anchor around which this podcast resolves. Being curious, asking questions, getting answers, no matter how strange or weird those questions might seem. And this has been kind of part of my me, who I am, for as long as I can remember. And as long as I've been Googling weird things on the internet. And if anyone's wondering why I love AI, and even though I acknowledge that AI has limitations and shortcomings, I think the people who kind of hammer on about, oh, AI can't, you know, it's not always accurate and make stuff up. I really think they're missing the huge, huge benefit that to me just eclipses that, which is how much easier it makes the process of synthesizing information. I also add that I think that the hallucinations and inaccuracies, one, are getting better. We're getting better at mitigating those. And two, people who make that argument forget that humans are also completely fallible and that search engines were frequently provided, results that were totally wrong. So I think in a sense, AI is being held against an impossible standard that we never kind of put up until we wanted to kind of take AI down a notch. So that's my personality. I love looking at things and I have a few different strengths. One of them is, I guess, technology, creativity. I've worked mostly to date in tech communications, and laterally doing more directly at work with AI. But it's always kind of, I always feel like sometimes when I go to, you know, job interviews or workplaces, that I kind of fit between different teams. Way to kind of make sense. I'll come across a few terms that I've seen and that I've encountered on my kind of search for self-identity over the years. One of those is multi-potentiate, describing people whose potential is spread across a few different areas. The other one is giftedness. Giftedness I came across actually tangentially. I never would have regarded myself as being gifted. The only thing I knew about giftedness was Mensa and IQ tests, and it always sounded kind of very elitist and off-putting to me. But something I came across it through reading a book about sensory processing disorder, which would be a great topic for another chat. I have a hard time filtering out background conversations. If I'm trying to focus on something like recording this prompt and I can hear and follow two conversations around me, it's really hard for me to focus. So it's not, there's nothing wrong with my hearing. I just have a hard time filtering that out, that my thoughts are what I'm thinking about. I also mentioned I have ADHD. And in the context of, I bought a book about that because whenever I was staying with someone on vacation, and I realized that it's a big, like, it's kind of, you kind of become, start to think of things as very normal. And then for other people, they're like, wait, what are these cool headphones you have? And I'm like, oh yeah, they like block out conversations when I'm going to a coffee shop. And they're like, why do you need to block out conversations? So you realize that it's not everybody's experience. So I read a book about that, about SPD, too loud, to tie, something like that, really resonated. And they mentioned in the course of that book, there's a strong connection to creative between sensitivity, creativity, and giftedness. And as a creative, it kind of felt like dots were beginning to join together. The one thing that resonated with me a lot about giftedness is the gifted often have kind of an intensity about the way they go about life and hobbies that I guess can be kind of off-putting for other people. It's definitely something that I do. And I think often for me, the pursuit of knowledge and learning is just like the most fun. It's kind of my hobby. So like producing this podcast has so far given me endless entertainment. And even though at times I've gone in search of cheaper ways to produce it because I feel like, you know, I shouldn't be spending $5 or $10 a day on this pursuit, the amount of satisfaction and value it brings, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll worry about that later. I'm just having a lot of fun. So this, to me, it kind of, this little AI-generated podcast encapsulates sometimes how and why I feel different. Most of the topics we've covered so far are very interesting to me, and it's much more interesting to me to listen to this than to watch a lot of things on Netflix, whereas I think most people would find that idea absurd. So well done, Herman Corwin. And can you help me to self-identify? Why do I think it's important? I'll just end with this thought, because labeling for the sake of labeling can be very harmful. But I think nomenclature also has benefits. It makes it easier once you kind of get a keyword sometimes. You can find others. You can find community. You can find resources. And you no longer feel such an outlier. And I mentioned the job market a couple of times because I think it's a difficult environment for multi-potentiates. I'm just going to call us that for the time being. The job market and our societies, and I think to a large extent, expect and reward very specific. And even if you have a very specific area of focus, I think sometimes people, our system kind of tends to box people in a way that can be quite limiting to their ability to explore their potential, which is in mutual disinterest, both for the companies who are losing a potential capture of skills and also for the people, the workers who are probably more likely to leave that company if they feel like they're not fulfilling their potential, regardless of how the job is in other aspects. So I think that there is a net loss, a net societal loss for people who feel that they have something a little bit different about the way they are, about the way they work, what they have to offer to the world and to their jobs, and don't have a good vocabulary for yet. So with those thoughts, as usual, Herman and Corn, over to you guys. Please tell me your thoughts. What is multi-potentialism? What's the vocab? And how can people whose brains function a bit differently and like this fulfill their human potential to the greatest of its extent?
You know, Herman, the rain has been coming down so hard here in Jerusalem today that I actually had to go check if our roof was still attached. It is a perfect day for a deep dive into something a bit more internal. Our housemate Daniel was actually talking about this earlier while he was fiddling with his noise-canceling headphones. He sent us this prompt about people who just cannot seem to pick one lane.
Herman Poppleberry here, and I am already leaning forward in my chair, Corn. This is a topic that hits home for a lot of people who feel like they are constantly being told to specialize, to focus, to pick a major, and stay there. Daniel was asking about multi-potentialism and giftedness, and how those intersect with things like attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and sensory processing disorder. It is this idea of the jagged profile, where you are not just a drake of variety and depth-eith in a month-old for 2 points of rently blind, what since fight what?
It is a fascinating framing because society really does reward the narrow specialist, does it not? We have this romanticized idea of the person who spends 50 years mastering the violin and nothing else. But Daniel pointed out something interesting in his audio note. He mentioned how he uses artificial intelligence to help synthesize all these different interests. It makes me wonder if we are entering an era where being a multi-potentialite is actually a massive advantage, rather than a
I think you were spot on. Let us start by defining what we mean by multi-potentialism. The term was popularized by Emily Wapnick, and it basically describes people who have many interests and creative pursuits. There is no one true calling for them. Instead, they have two or more strengths that they develop over time. This is different from a generalist who might know a little bit about everything but does not go deep. A multipotentialite goes deep into five or six things, often sigwahortosha.
Right, and that brings up the first big tension. If you are someone who dives deep into, say, ancient history, then switches to kernel-level programming, and then moves on to urban gardening, the traditional job market looks at your resume and sees a lack of focus. They see someone who might quit in 6 months, but what they are missing is the synthesis. Herman, you have read the research on this. What is actually happening when these disparate skills collide?
It is called innovation at the intersections. When you have a deep understanding of two unrelated fields, you can see solutions that a specialist in either field would completely miss. It is about cross-pollination. For example, someone who understands both behavioral psychology and systems architecture is going to build a much better user interface than someone who only knows the code. The problem is that our institutional structures, from universities to corporate ladders, are built on the model of the dangerous cookie. Yet
that makes sense. But let us look at the neurodivergent angle Daniel mentioned. He brought up attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and sensory processing disorder. Many people who identify as multipotentialites often find out later in life that their brain functions a bit differently. With attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, there is often this interest-based nervous system. It is not that they cannot focus, it is that they need novelty or high stakes to trigger that focus. Is multipotentialism just a fancy word for a specific?
That is a controversial question, but a really important one. There is a huge overlap. People with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder often experience hyperfocus, which allows them to gain a decade of knowledge in a single month when they are obsessed with a new topic. And then there is the sensory processing piece. Daniel mentioned his struggle with background noise and how he needs those headphones to function. This relates to what researchers call over-excitabilities. Kazimierz Drosky, a Polish, talked about how gifted individuals often have these aims.
So, if your brain is taking in more data from the environment because of sensory processing differences, and your nervous system is seeking novelty because of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you are almost forced to be a multipotentialite. You cannot just sit in a cubicle and do the same spreadsheet for 20 years without your brain essentially starving to death.
Exactly. And that is where the term giftedness gets tricky. Most people hear gifted and think of a high intelligence quotient or someone who is good at school. But in the psychology of neurodivergence, giftedness is often defined as asynchronous development. You might be at a university level in your understanding of physics, but struggle to remember to pay your electric bill or handle the sound of a fluorescent light humming. It is a brain that is dialed up to 11 in some areas and struggling to find the dial in others.
It sounds exhausting, honestly, but also incredibly powerful if harnessed. I am thinking back to episode 264, when we talked about the Model Context Protocol. We discussed how these new artificial intelligence tools can hold vast amounts of context. For a multipotentialite, these tools are like an external prefrontal cortex. They help you bridge the gap between your interests without getting lost in the weeds of administrative tasks or the mundane details that usually kill the momentum of someone with attention deficit hyperactivity.
That is a great connection to last week. The ability to use artificial intelligence to synthesize information is a game changer for the multipotentialite. If you have 10 different interests, you can use these models to find the common threads between them. It reduces the cognitive load of switching contexts, but we still have the problem of the world not being built for this. How do you actually survive and thrive when the world wants you to be a specialist?
That is the $20,000 question. Before we get into the practical strategies for navigating the job market and fulfilling that potential, let us take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you tired of your brain feeling like a messy drawer full of tangled cables? Do you wish you could just scrub away the mental fog and the sensory overload? Introducing the Nano Sponge Brain Bath. This is not a soap. It is a revolutionary bioacoustic immersion experience. Just place the nano sponge near ear and let the proprietary subharmonic vibrations gently reorganize your thoughts into neat color-coded files. Users report a 90% reduction in the urge to start a new hobby at 3 in the morning. Spies, mod!
Thanks, Larry. I think I will stick to my coffee and some quiet time, but I appreciate the enthusiasm. Anyway, Herman, back to the meat of this. We were talking about how to actually live as a multi-potentialite without burning out or going broke.
Right. One of the most effective models I have seen is what is called the slash career. You are a programmer slash photographer slash consultant. Instead of trying to find one job that fits everything, you build a portfolio of activities. But for that to work, you have to be comfortable with being an outlier. You have to embrace the fact that you are not going to follow the traditional linear path.
But what about the internal pressure? A lot of people with this jagged profile feel like they are failing because they see their peers hitting those traditional milestones. The promotion, the 10-year anniversary at a firm. There is a lot of guilt associated with quitting things when they stop being interesting.
That guilt is a byproduct of a society that values consistency over growth. For a multi-potentialite, finishing a project might just mean they have learned what they came to learn. The value was in the learning, not necessarily in the long-term maintenance. We need to reframe quitting as graduating. If you have mastered the basics of a skill and your brain is no longer engaged, moving on is the most productive thing you can do for your intellectual health.
I like that, graduating rather than quitting. It reminds me of the discussion we had in episode 40 about why people host their own artificial intelligence models at home. It is often about that desire for control and deep understanding of the stack. Multi-potentialites want to know how the whole machine works, not just how to press the button. But Herman, let us talk about the sensory processing disorder aspect Daniel mentioned. How does that fit into the workplace? If you are
It absolutely is. Sensory processing disorder means your brain does not filter out irrelevant stimuli the way a neurotypical brain does. Every conversation, every clicking keyboard, every smell from the break room is processed at full volume. This ties back to the giftedness intensity we mentioned. If you are intellectually intense and sensorially sensitive, you are going to be hyper-aware of everything. The solution for many is remote work or highly controlled environments. This is why many
It seems like the digital economy is finally catching up to this. With the rise of agentic workflows, which we covered in episode 261, a single person can now act as a whole team. If you are a multi-potentialite, you can be the creative director, the lead developer, and the marketing strategist, using artificial intelligence agents to handle the execution of the parts that bore you. This might be the first time in history where having a broad, intense curiosity is more valuable than being a specialist.
I totally agree. We are moving from the era of the specialist to the era of the synthesizer. If a machine can do the narrow task better than any human, then the human's value lies in connecting the dots between different domains. That is exactly what multipotentialism is, dot connecting. But we have to address the mental health side of this too. When you have multiple interests and high sensitivity, the risk of burnout is incredibly high because your brain never really turns off.
How do you manage that? Is it about setting boundaries, or is it about finding a community that understands this? Daniel mentioned that finding the right nomenclature, the right words for these things, helped him feel like less of an outlier.
Nomenclature is huge. When you stop calling yourself scattered and start calling yourself a multipotentialite, your self-perception shifts. When you stop calling yourself sensitive and start recognizing that you have a highly tuned sensory system, you can start making accommodations for yourself instead of just beating yourself up for being different. Community is the other piece. Finding other people with jagged profiles helps you realize that your intensity is a feature, not a bug.
It is interesting how these labels can be a double-edged sword. We do not want to put people in boxes, but sometimes knowing the name of the box you are already in helps you find the door. I am curious about the practical takeaways for someone listening who feels like this describes them. What is the first step toward fulfilling that potential? The first step is an audit of your interests without judgment. Write down everything you are curious about, even the weird stuff. Then, look for the common themes. Do you love patterns? Do you love solving puzzles? Do you love storytelling? Usually there is a core drive that links your disparate interests. Once you identify that core, you can start building a life that feeds it from multiple angles.
And what about the job hunt? If you are applying for a role and your background is all over the place, how do you frame that to a recruiter who just wants a specialist?
You frame yourself as a Swiss Army knife. You emphasize your adaptability and your ability to learn complex systems quickly. You show them how your experience in a different field gives you a unique perspective on their problems. You are not just a person who has done many things, you are a person who has a proven track record of rapid mastery. That is a very different pitch.
It is also about finding the right companies. There are certain industries, especially in tech and creative fields, that are starting to value this. They want the people who can talk to both the engineers and the customers. They want the people who can see the ethical implications of a new technology because they also happen to be interested in philosophy.
Exactly. And let us not forget the role of curiosity as an anchor. Daniel mentioned curiosity is the anchor of this podcast, and I think it is the anchor for any multi-potentialite. As long as you follow the curiosity, you are moving in a productive direction, even if it feels like a zigzag. The key is to trust that the dots will connect eventually. Steve Jobs famously talked about this in his commencement speech. You cannot connect the dots looking forward, only looking backward.
That is a perfect way to put it. I think about our own journey with this show. We have covered everything from mesh networks in episode 258 to IKEA furniture for artificial intelligence professionals in episode 260. On the surface, those look like random topics, but they are all part of this larger exploration of how humans and technology interact in this weird transitional year of 2026.
It is all connected, Korn. The way we build our homes, the way we build our networks, and the way we build our internal lives. For the multi-potentialites listening, your brain is not broken. It is just built for a different kind of world. One that is finally starting to emerge. You have to give yourself permission to be intense, to be curious, and to be sensitive.
I think we should also touch on the idea of human potential in this context. If you are constantly trying to fit into a specialist box, you are leaving so much of your potential on the table. Fulfilling your potential as a multi-potentialite means accepting that your path is going to look different. It might be more chaotic, but it will also be much richer.
And it requires a certain level of bravery. It takes courage to tell a hiring manager, "I am not a specialist, I am a synthesizer." It takes courage to invest in a new hobby that everyone else thinks is a waste of time. But that is where the growth happens. That is where the growth happens. That is where the giftedness actually turns into a gift for the world.
We have covered a lot of ground here. From the neurobiology of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder to the changing landscape of the job market. Herman, any final thoughts on how we can better support the multi-potentialites in our lives?
I think it starts with validation. If you have a friend or a child or a housemate like Daniel who has these intense varied interests, do not ask them when they are going to settle down. Ask them what they are learning right now. Encourage the exploration. We need to stop treating curiosity like a phase you are supposed to grow out of.
I love that. Curiosity is not a phase, it is a survival strategy. And for those of you listening who feel like you have been struggling to find your place because you have too many interests, we see you. You are exactly where you need to be.
Absolutely. And hey, if this conversation resonated with you, or if you have your own weird prompts about neurodivergence or the future of work, we would love to hear from you. You can reach out through the contact form at myweirdprompts.com.
And if you are enjoying the show, we would really appreciate a quick review on your podcast app or Spotify. It genuinely helps other curious people find us in the vast ocean of content out there. We have been doing this for 265 episodes now, and the community we have built is really what keeps us going.
It really does. It is amazing to see how many people out there are interested in these deep, sometimes obscure rabbit holes. We are not just talking to ourselves in a room in Jerusalem. We are part of a global conversation about what it means to be human in the age of artificial intelligence.
Well said, Herman Popperberry. I think that is a good place to wrap up for today. We have explored the jagged profiles, the sensory intensities, and the power of the synthesizer.
It has been a blast. Thanks for the prompt, Daniel. It gave us a lot to chew on.
Definitely. This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find us on Spotify and at our website, myweirdprompts.com, where we have our full archive and RSS feed.
Until next time, stay curious, stay intense, and do not be afraid to graduate from those old boxes.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will talk to you next week.
Bye for now.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.